Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 12. When Jesus heard that, he saith unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Verse 13. "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We consider the fifth in our series, the Christian's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll not recap anything that we've said. I just want to commence straight into our message tonight. And we consider the fifth, Christ our physician. Now, a physician, of course, I hardly need to explain the meaning of physician. But a physician is one who is skilled in the art of healing. We call them doctors today. A doctor who helps us and heals us in time of sickness, in time of physical emergency. We know what it is to have a relationship with a doctor on earth, knocking on his door. He gets to know us pretty well, especially if we're very sickly. He becomes acquainted with us and we become acquainted with him, and a relationship forms our doctor, whoever he is. But the Lord Jesus Christ is a doctor as well, the physician of souls. And that's really what he's saying here in Matthew chapter 9. He's been mingling with the publicans and sinners. And of course, the self-righteous Pharisees find fault with that. "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" And the Lord Jesus' response was to tell them that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And of course, you can see the logic of what he's saying. If men were not sick, then I wouldn't be among them to help them. But because men are sick with sin, I, the great physician, am among them. These publicans and sinners, they're sick with sin, they're diseased, and I'm among them. But I'm come to call sinners to repentance. And so our subject tonight is Christ, our physician, who healeth all our diseases. I want to emphasize at the outset, because lest there be any confusion, that we consider Christ the physician in relation to our sin. We're talking about him as the physician of souls. We're not talking about physical healing. I don't suppose anyone has come out to hear the message under the idea that we're talking about physical healing. Yes, the Lord Jesus is a physical healer too. I do not deny that. He can heal. He does heal. Usually through means. He skills doctors and scientists. He enables them to discover remedies. And he gives them understanding and skills of surgery and all the rest. And by means of those, he does physical healing. And also, on occasions, he specially intervenes himself and works a marvelous cure. The Lord Jesus can bless any means. But we're not talking about physical healing tonight, because the Lord Jesus has not bound himself in covenant to physically heal his people. But he has bound himself in covenant to heal them of the diseases of their soul. He has given a promise, "He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And he that repents and turns from sin and believes in me shall be saved and shall be healed." So we're talking about spiritual healing, and the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. The Christian is one then who is always going to acknowledge he is a sinner. In order to have a relationship with the doctor, you must be sick. And in order to have a relationship with the doctor, you must know you're sick. You must be honest about your sickness. You must own it and face up to it. and visit the doctor in the sure and certain knowledge that you are a sick man. And the Christian is one who never forgets that he's a sinner. He knows that the Lord Jesus Christ only has a relationship with sinners, not with the self-righteous, not with those who think they are well. But he only has a relationship with awakened sinners. The child of God will never act the part of a Pharisee. The child of God will never feel himself in a situation where he doesn't need the great physician. The child of God always feels he's a sinner. The child of God never gets beyond that. Always feels he's a sinner. You'll remember that the Apostle Paul, whenever he was writing to Timothy, he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, present tense, not of whom I was chief. I am chief. I am still the chief of sinners. I still reckon myself a great sinner. I never get beyond that. Oh, before he met Christ, he didn't know that. He was one of these Pharisees, you see. He was self-righteous. He was walking about persecuting the church, and he thought he was a whole man. Until the Lord Jesus began to send the pricks into the conscience, the pricks which it was hard for him to kick against, and finally he discovered, I am a sinner. He never forgot it. And so when he wrote to Timothy, I am the chief of sinners. Much of Christendom doesn't have that sense of need today, do they? Of the person and work of Christ. Many men and women are content with a little bit of religion and a little bit of church. But I tell you, a true Christian doesn't think like that. A true Christian knows that he's a sinner. He can never do without the physician. He can never do without Jesus Christ. He would never be away from the door of the heavenly physician. He's always visiting him. He's always knocking at his door. He's always seeking cleansing. The child of God has a relationship with Christ, and in that relationship, he never forgets he's a sinner. You remember the Apostle Peter? Apostle Peter was a saved man. But one occasion, he got a new glimpse of his wickedness. And you know what he said? It was a wee bit of an unenlightened prayer, but in some respects it was very enlightened. He said, Lord, depart from me. Now that was the wrong part of the prayer. But the right part of it was this. I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. We never get beyond that, child of God, do we? Don't you always feel a sinner? I know I certainly do anyway. And I think it must be true of all the people of God. Read Psalm 51. There's a man of God there, conceived in sin. He's remembering his sin, his wickedness. Without that continual sense of need, you'll never make a right relationship with the physician. The child of God is one who always acknowledges he's a sinner. Never gets beyond that. But the Christian is one not only who acknowledges himself a sinner. The Christian is one who sees sin as a loathsome disease. He sees sin as disease. Sin, of course, is many things. It's much more than disease, but it is that as well. It's disease of the soul. Disease of the soul. In other words, disease of sin does to the soul what ordinary disease and physical disease does to the body. The image of sin as disease is frequent in Scripture. We often sing Psalm 103, who healeth all thy diseases. I think the reference there is to sin. We read that the whole head is sick. The mind of man is depraved. He's sick. And he does sick things. And we read of very many sick things in the world done by sick, depraved men. Sickness, I add, for which they are accountable. Pastoral work is mainly about helping awakened sinners. And sometimes that's referred to in the Bible as visiting the sick and ministering to the sick. Sometimes when you read the Psalms and David talks about ailments, you're not just quite sure, is he talking about a physical sickness he has or a spiritual one? Is he talking about a sin? Sometimes it's hard to separate. But I think most often it's about the disease of sin. The image of sin as plague and disease opens up a whole field of instruction about the nature of sin. But we're not speaking about the nature of sin tonight. We're just bringing to your mind the fact that sin is a loathsome disease. It's filthy. It's polluting. It's stinking. It's damaging. Doesn't disease damage the body, cause the organs to decay? Doesn't disease kill cells? And that's what sin does. It deadens, it damages, it hardens the conscience. It makes the tender conscience into a hard tumor. It's contagious as well. And it catches, and other people adopt habits because sin is contagious. Sin makes us ugly and unsightly. And many a man have you respected until he did something. And he was never the same in your sight again. Never was. Because sin makes unsightly. Makes ugly. It brings suffering. It's a cause of all suffering. It's even the cause of all physical ailments and physical disease. There's a link. Not directly, but generally speaking, there is. It brings death and ruin. It separates loved ones from us. And sin separates us from God. Sin is deep-rooted, like a deep tumor. Sin is incurable. Sin is immortal as the soul. That's why hell is everlasting. Because sin is everlasting in the souls of those damned sinners. It brings torment and anguish and tears. Yes, it hurts. Many a time David was hurt by sin. Even Judas Iscariot, with all his hardened heart and his hardened conscience, sin hurt him. When he said, I have betrayed the innocent blood, and went out and hung himself, he was so hurt by sin that he had to commit suicide. It was very hurting. Sin hurts as disease hurts. So there, sin is a loathsome disease, and the Christian knows that. Christian acknowledges that. The poor sinner very often doesn't know he's sick. That's the dangerous thing about the disease of sin, you see. Many a sinner affected by it doesn't know he's diseased. He's so blind and so foolish and so hardened that he doesn't even be aware of the loathsomeness of the disease that clings to his soul. At the first sign of physical malady, he's off knocking at the doctor's door. But every evidence of spiritual malady and moral malady looks him in the face. And yet he's not knocking at the door of heaven for the great physician. Oh, how blind is the sinner. How deadening is the disease of sin that it so hardens sinners that they don't even see their need and they don't go to the physician. What makes us different, child of God, is that the Lord had mercy on us and he opened our eyes and we saw the loathsomeness of our disease. And we fled to Jesus, the great physician. So the child of God is one who is aware of the loathsomeness of sin as a disease. And therefore the child of God is one who wants it completely eradicated from his life and heart. The child of God is one who wants sin to be removed. The child of God is one who has so seen the loathsomeness of sin that he wants a Saviour to save him from that. And that's the kind of Saviour Jesus is. To save from sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's the kind of salvation we want, child of God, isn't it? Now, I know at our first coming to Jesus, we were very concerned about the wrath of God. And we wanted to be saved from the wrath to come. And we saw that. But now we're battling with the nature of sin itself. There is a new heart within us, given to us in regeneration, and we're aware still of the presence of this disease in us. And we now want a full salvation from the very presence of sin. The child of God is one who desires its complete eradication. And he makes use of the physician to that end. Robert Murray McShane said, "Make me as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be." The salvation that McShane wanted was a salvation from all his sins. In Psalm 51, you read there of the man of God praying against sin, desiring for the mercy of God, desiring for the cleansing, desiring for a clean heart, desiring for the renewing of a right spirit within him. Desiring the restoration of joy onto his heart. There's not one mention of hell in this. The fear of God's wrath is not uppermost in the psalmist's mind. Do you know what is uppermost in the psalmist's mind in this psalm? It is the detestable nature of sin that is uppermost. That's what's uppermost. Wash me. Cleanse me. I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. Wash me throughly. Cleanse me from my sin. My sin, my sin, my sin is ever before me. He's a sick man. There is the remaining remnants of sin in him. And he's conscious of it. And it is that he desires eradicated from his life and his heart. And so the Christian is one who takes himself to the Lord Jesus Christ for the complete eradication of sin. He knows that the Lord Jesus is the great physician. He knows that the Lord Jesus has been appointed by the Father to deal with sin. He knows that the Saviour is a Saviour of sinners and a Saviour from sin. The Lord Jesus Christ worked many miracles of physical healing in the days of his flesh. And he did those miracles of physical healing as tokens of what he does in the spiritual realm. That's why this miracle of the healing of the palsied man is so close to this portion of scripture in the writer's mind. Forgiveness of sins, the malady in the body. The Lord healed the body. And that was proof that the forgiveness of sins that he gave was a reality. Yes, the Lord makes the blind to see physically and spiritually. The Lord makes the deaf to hear physically, yes, and spiritually. The Lord makes the dead to live, yes, physically and spiritually. Yes, the leper
that great picture of sin, that great type of sin, that great disease that had been set apart by God to set forth the loathsomeness of sin and all its ugliness. Yes, the leper Jesus touched to show that he removes sin with his touch. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the Son of Righteousness, who comes with healing in his wings. He has health for sinners in his wings. It's not found anywhere else. There's only one Son of Righteousness who descends upon us sinners with health under his wings. It's Jesus. The child of God knows this. He goes to nowhere else with the maladies of his wicked heart. To thee only do I confess and acknowledge my sin. Thou alone can remove it. Yes, what does the Bible say? By his stripes are we healed. His alone. And again, that's not physical healing. That's spiritual. The whole context of Isaiah 53 is about sin and iniquity. The healing there is a spiritual healing. Yes, Jesus opened his body. His body was wounded. His back was laid bare. Those stripe marks that opened up for the pouring out of the blood. Yes, the medicine of the blood that Jesus shed. Those stripes heal us. It's no healing without the death of Christ. There is no eradication of sin without the blood. There's no removal of our iniquities and no healing of our soul without the cross work of Jesus, by whose stripes alone we are healed. Yes, we know this. And so we come to Jesus. We look to him as those that were bitten in the wilderness by the fiery serpents. Oh, they were diseased. They were doomed. They were going to die. There was only one remedy. One only. They had to look to the lifted up serpent. The brazen serpent. And so we look to Jesus. Yes, Christ crucified. The one who died for us sinners. We look to him. He's an all-sufficient Savior. He is the great physician. He's never failed of any case yet. To understand how our great physician heals us as sinners and how we are related to him by faith, we must think of our sin and our disease in a threefold manner. We must think of sin in three areas of our lives. We must think of the pollution of sin, the pollution of sin, the defilement of sin. This has to do with guilt. This has to do with our obligation to punishment. As God looks upon us and sees us dirty and polluted and unclean, we are obliged to be punished justly. We're guilty. Sin has polluted us. But Jesus deals with our pollution in justification. For he washes us in his blood, and he clothes us with his righteousness, and the guilt is removed, and the pollution is washed away, and the defilement is completely gone. Justified fully by Jesus' blood, clothed in righteousness, we have a standing in Christ. And that's what's referred to, healeth all our diseases. He deals with the pollution. And that comes at our first believing in Christ. Thereafter, when we sin freshly, we make fresh application to the blood of Christ. But our standing doesn't change. Accept it in the Beloved. The pollution is dealt with in our union with Jesus. And we have fresh cleansing of renewed sin in Christ. But not only is there the pollution of sin, there is the power of sin. And he breaks us.
the habits of sin, the mind and the thoughts of sin, the things that go on in us. Because we find that although we're justified and accepted in the Beloved, we do find that sin remains. And we find that we let the Lord down. And we find that although sin has been knocked off its throne and it doesn't reign in us, praise God, it doesn't reign in us, but it has remaining power in us. And there's a battle. And this is really where we begin to realize the loathsomeness of our sin. And perhaps that is one of the reasons why the Lord doesn't eradicate it completely, but lets us live in the world for a long time, and so that we'll learn more of the loathsomeness of sin and appreciate more the grace of God, even as the people of God. Yes, the blood cleanses us, but then the Spirit sanctifies us. He makes sin appear to us loathsome. He lets us see what's in our heart more and more. He gives us a desire to overcome it. He makes sin more hateful to us. He helps us to overcome it. He enables us. It is a long and slow and sometimes painful and a daily process in some areas. We speak of our sanctification. Yes, even for our sanctification, for the breaking of the remaining power of sin, we're sanctified in Christ. We use the great physician. Without him, we can do nothing. He breaks the power of remaining sin in us. He enables us to be more than overcomers. Sometimes the Christian backslides, and it appears that the old maladies return again. What does the Christian do? He gets to Christ, the great physician. He knocks again at the door of the heavenly doctor. And what does Jesus say? I will heal their backsliding. Are you a backslider tonight? Have you got away from the Lord? Has the conscience become a little insensitive to the things of God? Have you dropped away in your walk? The physician still stands. I will heal their backsliding. Oh, come for healing then. Come for restoration. Yes, he restoreth my soul. He does. I'll do that for you too, backslider. Yes, we take ourselves to Christ for justification. We take ourselves to Christ for sanctification. But not only is the power of sin broken by our physician, one day, the very presence of it will be eradicated. The pollution in justification is dealt with. The power remaining in sanctification by Christ is dealt with. And the very presence of it in any form, in thought, word, and deed, will one day be eradicated by our great physician, when we see him as he is, we shall be like him, without any disease, without any sin. All the beauty of his purity and holiness. Yes, he cures his people by degrees, just like that blind man. The Lord could did it all in one go. He could have saved us and brought us straight to glory and made us sinless in a split second. But he doesn't work that way. Because we're rational beings. And we've a lot of things to learn. And we only learn things by process. And so he saves us by process. He justifies us. And he sanctifies us. And at last he glorifies us. The final eradication of all sin. Our great physician now is near. For all this, we depend on Jesus. I am Jehovah that healeth you. And so he is. But not only that, finally, the Christian who knows the great physician, who is related to the great physician, who has relationship and dealing with the great physician, who visits the great physician, who is always using the medicine of his precious blood for cleansing, and greater supplies of his spirit for sanctification, and awaiting that day when we shall see him in glory, that Christian has an obligation. An obligation. In fact, he's under a compulsion. He who has come to know the great physician, he who has met Christ, who's met the healer of his diseases, is under a compulsion to make his great physician known unto others. The Christian appreciates the need of the disease sinner. Men and women are around about us. Are we the kind of Christian that just sees them as kind of trees walking about? Or do we see them as men disfigured by sin? They're not trees walking about. They're precious souls disfigured. Disfigured by sin. Disease, the loathsomeness of sin clings to them. And we that have believed and know the great physician and have to some degree experienced the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are bound by ties to our fellow men to help them. To help bring them to Christ. To help tell them about the great physician. If I see a man with the same disease as I had, and I had been healed of that disease by a great physician, wouldn't it be criminal not to tell that diseased man of the doctor who has the remedy? Wouldn't it be criminal? Wouldn't it be wrong if I had the opportunity to introduce the sinner to the great physician and fail to do so? Would that not be a disgrace? We know the Saviour. We know that men are diseased. The Lord Jesus knew this, and that's why he was with publicans and sinners. Not to adopt their ways, not to lower his standards, but to seek and to save that which was lost. Brethren and sisters, let us not be Pharisees in our religion, looking down our noses at our fellow sinners. Let us never say, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. Let us, if we know the great physician, let us feel as he feels. Let us want to follow him. Let us have a love for publicans and sinners that Jesus had. Let our chief ambition be the recovery of sinners. And let us do our little bit to bring it about.